thank the choir for that beautiful, beautiful music this morning, and especially the young lady who sang that gorgeous solo. What a beautiful voice you have, and thank God for it today. You know, I was cut out to be a singer. I just got sewed up wrong. But it's pretty obvious that she got sewed up right. These have been really wonderful days for me. I have thoroughly enjoyed the atmosphere of Southern Seminary. It is always a stimulating time for me to be able to come. Pray for Dr. Moeller that he will stay in the will of God more and invite me more often than every 5 years. I have been trying to get back, and I told Dr. Moeller, I said, Dr. Moeller, I think I'm ready to come back. He said, no, you're not ready. And so I waited a little while, and I called again. I said, Dr. Moeller, I really would like to come back to Southern Seminary. He said, you're just not ready yet. So finally, it got on me so bad, I called Dr. Moeller. I said, listen, Dr. Moeller, I want to come back to the seminary so bad, I'll come for nothing, and I'll pay my own plane ticket. He said, now you're ready. But it has been a wonderful, wonderful time. This afternoon, I'm going to be over at the bookstore. The people at Lifeway have been so gracious to allow me to be over there around 2 o'clock this afternoon from around 2 to 3. And I do have a ministry I'm pursuing now, a conference ministry, ministry of getting out Bible teaching material through DVDs and books and these kinds of things. And I'll be over there and have some of those available. I do have the original Baptist and His Bible DVD, the one I preached at the Southern Baptist Convention in St. Louis back in 1987, I believe it was, and some other things and some books there. And if you're a seminary student and you don't have the money to buy it and you'd like to have something, you come over there and I'll give it to you. Now, there are a couple of books from the stock of Lifeway, and so I can't give their books away, but if you would like one of those books, see Dr. Moore and he'll buy it for you. And so you're in luck today. Hebrews 13:8 is familiar to all of us. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. It trips lightly upon our lips, but it rests profoundly upon our hearts. It has all of the charm of an epigram, and yet it has all of the warm comfort of a sweet assurance for the soul. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Now, we do not know who wrote the book of Hebrews. The old traditional view was that Paul was the author of Hebrews. There are others who felt like that Barnabas was the author. Dr. David Allen, Dean of the School of Theology at Southwestern, believes that the author was Dr. Luke. We really don't know if it was not Paul or Barnabas or Luke. I think probably it was Dr. Moeller, but we really don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. But whoever it was, the author has penned and placed a verse of Scripture which could only be done by Spirit-directed guidance. It is a verse which you might call an envelope verse. He begins the book of Hebrews in chapter 1, verse 12, by saying, "Thou art the same." Now, he envelopes that at the conclusion of his book, saying, "Jesus Christ is the same." It is a verse which assumes deity, Jesus Christos, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. It is almost, is it not, an exposition of the I am so used frequently by our Lord. I am, the one who is, the one who was, the one who is to come. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. It assumes deity. It also declares our Lord's immutability or His constancy. Jesus Christ the same, ha autos, the personal pronoun with the definite article, and it means the same. Jesus Christ is the same, the immutability of our Lord. The verse is not only an envelope verse declaring His deity and declaring His immutability, But you really might could call it a linchpin verse. Because from many different perspectives, this verse really kind of ties the entire book of Hebrews together. Now, its particular place in Hebrews has caused some question about the suitability of its place right there. But when you keep in mind that this verse might be looked upon as a linchpin verse, you will be aware that the author is writing to a group of people who are going through monumental change. Everything they knew was changing. The priesthood was changing. The sacrifices were changing. The altar was changing. The temple was changing. Nothing was the same anymore. And yet in the midst of that, the author declares there is a constant, Jesus Christ the same. Now in the wider context, he, back in the 12th chapter, talks about the change in the created world. And he says back in verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. What he's saying is, we are living in a created world characterized by change. Change is stamped upon everything earthly, isn't it? We move from the lazy, hazy days of summer to the autumn breeze and the falling leaves. Nature all around us is changing. Culture changes, doesn't it? Probably we see the change in the culture in the school system as clearly as anywhere else. We've always had problems in our schools, but the problem's a little different. I remember reading about a mother who sent a note back with her son to the teacher, and it said, "Dear teacher, Tommy is sorry he whistled in your class, and he won't do it anymore. Signed, Whistler's mother." But we have moved now from whistling in class and from chewing gum in class to gang rape and killing. Culture is changing. We change. We don't stay the same. I'm told that every 5 years, every cell of our body changes. If you don't believe you're changing, just go to your high school reunion and look at all the old people there. We change. We don't stay the same. The infant becomes the boy, and the boy becomes the man, and the grave is ready for us before we are ready for it. We are living in a world of created change. The created world around us is changing. But in a more immediate context, in verses 7 and 9, we notice that the church world changes as well. In the 9th verse, he warns of the danger of false doctrine. The danger of changing doctrine, becoming heretical in its nature. And in the 7th verse, it talks about the role of leaders in the church. And we know that leaders change. Preachers change. They're not always the same. It seems to me we've got a generation of young preachers coming along who are better looking than some of others of us who've come along. They tell me that one out of every 3 preachers is either beautiful or brilliant. So look around you, and if it's not them, it's probably you. Hairstyles change with preachers. I heard about one preacher who started parting his hair from ear to ear, combing it forward and backward. And somebody said, "How you like your new hairstyle?" He said, "Oh, I like it pretty good, except folks keep coming up whispering in my nose." I told the people yesterday, "I've been thinking about getting me a hairstyle change. I've been thinking about getting a spike. I think I'll dye one of them green and one of them purple." Preachers change. Pastors transition. Churches change their leadership. And we're going through some transition in the church world in that area today. And people, you know, I remember a lady came up to her pastor and he was getting ready to leave. And she said, "Oh, pastor, I just don't know what we're going to do without you." And he said, "Oh, sister, don't worry. You'll get a better pastor than me next time." And she started wailing and he said, "What's wrong?" He said, "That's what they said just before you came." I mean, One pastor got up and he said, I'm here to announce this morning that Jesus has led me to go at another church. And the music director got up and said, let's all stand and sing. What a friend we have in Jesus. Pastors change. Methods change in a church. Things don't stay the same in a church. Now, the younger you are, the more tendency there is to make a lot of changes in your church. When I was a young pastor down in Mobile, Alabama, Jason, the word going on around there about me was I changed everything in the church except the signs on the doors of the bathrooms. I mean, they said, yeah, this guy's changing everything. Now, some change is silly and stupid. You hear some church growth expert who never had a church anywhere himself, who knows more about Madison Avenue than he does Hallelujah Square, and he tells you how you need to change your church. Some change is silly and stupid, but some change is eventual and is necessary. Many churches, their favorite hymn is, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end, amen. One old brother was celebrating his 100th birthday, and they said, Uncle, you've probably seen a lot of change in the church. He said, yep, and I've been against all of them. There's some people like that, but there are some changes that do need to be made to meet the needs of our culture. But now, here is the trick. The trick is how to change the method without changing or cheapening or compromising the message. And so in the midst of compromise, and in the midst of change, and in the midst of all of these kinds of things, the writer of the book of Hebrews declares, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Now, many of the translations add the verb is there, and I think correctly so. It is saying that Jesus Christ is the same. It is not saying that Jesus stays the same. That's the mistake of traditionalism, that somehow Jesus is tied to some period of history or He is tied to some particular culture. Jesus Christ does not stay the same. Jesus Christ is the same. It doesn't say that Jesus does the same. That's the mistake of Pentecostalism that assumes that the modus operandi of Christ is the same in every age. It is a declaration of the character and the person of the Lord Jesus. Not that Jesus is static. Jesus is kaleidoscopic in His revelation of Himself to us and in His sweetness and His love to us. But Jesus Christ is stable. He remains the same in His person. He is who He is. He will always be who He is. Jesus Christ the same. Now I'll talk about that for just a few moments this morning. Jesus the Christ. Jesus Christ the same yesterday. I want to talk a little bit about the yesterday Jesus, the past Jesus. It is the adverb ekthes, yesterday. It is an adverb of time. It means the sum total of the past. It's probably what the writer means in the 5th chapter, the 7th verse, when it talks about the days of His flesh. Primarily, it is talking about the days of His flesh. But of course, you and I understand that there is also a concept of eternity past. The writer in the book of Psalms, chapter 90, said this. He said, from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. From vanishing point to vanishing point, Thou art God. Jesus Christ is the Christ of eternity past. He is the Christ of creation. Pick up the telescope and look, and you see the immensity of the creation which our Christ created. And you see the sun 93 million miles away. If you boarded a jet, it'd take you 10.5 years to get there. And yet they tell us that our nearest sun, Vega, is 38 times larger than our sun. And they say that there are billions upon billions of stars, more than man is able to count. And yet the Bible says that our Christ created every one of those stars, and He knows them by their name, and He knows them by their number. And then you pick up the microscope and you look and you see the complexity of our universe. And the same God who created 100 billion stars created 100 billion brain cells in our brain. And we know that this minute creation was all created by our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And everything about the creation bears the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every star is stamped with the signature of the bright and the morning star. Every flower is embroidered with the name of the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. Every animal is branded with the name of the lion of the tribe of Judah and the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Jesus of yesterday is the Jesus of eternity past, the Jesus of creation. But primarily He is the past Jesus, the yesterday Jesus of incarnation. When Jesus was born, the Bible says that He came into the world. Christ Jesus came into the world, the Bible says. The writer of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah says, "Unto us a child is given, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." The Son of God became a son of man. And Christ came from the bosom of His Father to the bosom of His mother. And when He was born, He bit the date lines of all time around His cradle. And He literally changed the calendar of the world. In boyhood, or in infancy, He scared a king. In boyhood, He stumped the scholars. In manhood, He conquered nature. On the cross, He conquered sin. And in the tomb, He vanquished death. Jesus Christ, the same, the Christ of incarnation. The Christ of the past is also the Christ of crucifixion. That's why He came. He came to die on the cross. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the night before His cross, was evidently singing the Hallel Psalms. You may recall in Psalm 118, there's a verse which says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice in it." And then right on down below that it says, "Bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar." He was singing about the day of all days, the day of His cross. And when Christ went to the cross, He bore upon His shoulder the burdens of our sins. He took into His side the spear of all of our, the pain of our iniquity. The Bible says that Christ died on that cross to be the propitiation for not our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And the Scripture says that yesterday, that 1,000 years are as but yesterday in His sight. Time has no relevance in terms of the personhood of the Lord Jesus Christ, so everything is an eternal now to Christ. Some 2,000 years ago to us, Jesus Christ died. It's as yesterday to our Savior. It is as yesterday that His screams rattled the trees of olive in the Garden of Gethsemane. It is as yesterday that He was standing in Pilate's hall and experienced the spitting and the slapping and the smiting. It was as yesterday that they carried Him out to a hill called Calvary. Visitors to the Holy Land go and they try to imagine where the cross might have been, but He knows where the cross was been. It was as yesterday. It was as yesterday that He heard the hate-filled mob of religious leaders. It was as yesterday that He saw His weeping disciples and His broken-hearted mother. He is the Christ of yesterday, the same Jesus. He is the Jesus of crucifixion. He is the Jesus of resurrection. They buried the Lord Jesus, and the Scripture says that 3 days later He rose again from the dead. I can almost imagine the Lord Jesus as He comes to the tomb. And old death says, "You'll not come out of here. No one's ever come out of my prison house. I have the keys of death." And Jesus says, "I have overcome death. Give me the keys." And the tomb began to shake, and the soldiers began to rattle, and the stone began to roll. And up from the grave He arose. And the message of the eternal Christ, the Christ who is the same, is the message of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. Let me read you something I ran across. It says, "There is no reason why there should be less confidence in preaching Christ or less joy in believing now. He died only yesterday. The incense of His death is as fragrant as when it ascended at first. And the inherent power of it is as great as when on the day of Pentecost, repenting thousands hailed the crucified as their Savior." I'm here to say to you, young men and young ladies this morning, that Jesus Christ is the Christ of yesterday. He is the past Jesus. But now the verse continues. It says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today. It is another adverb of time, semeron. I'm using these Greek words to impress Dr. Plummer. I was in his class Tuesday afternoon, scared me to death. I thought any moment he was going to call on me to read. So Dr. Plummer, I'm just using these words to let you know I know one or two of them. Semeron, today. He is the Jesus Christ of today. There are those who would tell us that Jesus is out of date, that he's old-fashioned, that he won't work for our technological astute day. But I'm here to announce to you that this Jesus Christ, who is the past Jesus, the yesterday Jesus, is also the present Jesus. He is the Jesus of today. Oh, he's changed his garments. He laid aside his garments of the peasant and put upon himself again the robes of his glory. But he is still the same Jesus. And today, according to the writer of Hebrews, he is our faithful and merciful high priest. And today, he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And today, he ever lives to make intercession for us. Jesus Christ is the same Jesus today. Well, someone says, well, you can't see Jesus. How do you know Jesus is real? You can't see him. Science has told us and taught us that the unseen world is a very real world. Bacteria may not be seen, but we know that bacteria can bowl over a 200-pound man and bury him in just a matter of days. There is a real world, though we may not see that real world. I heard about an atheist who was talking to a Quaker and said to the Quaker, he said, have you ever seen God? And the Quaker said, no. He said, well, have you ever touched God? And he said, no. He said, well, have you ever smelled God? He said, no. He said, well, how do you know there is a God? And the Quaker said to the atheist, he said, have you ever seen your brain? He said, no. He said, have you ever touched your brain? He said, no. Have you ever smelled your brain? No. He said, well, then how dost thee know thou hast a brain? I'm here to announce to you that Jesus Christ is real. Reality, reality, Lord Jesus Christ, thou art to me. He is the same Jesus today, which leads me to make just a few remarks for your listening this morning about the Jesus of the present time. I'm here to announce to you that Jesus still speaks today. Oh, he doesn't speak in the same voice that rippled across the Sea of Galilee and caused the waves to lie down like whipped puppies at his feet. But he still speaks today through his word. This word today is used in an interesting way back in the 3rd and the 4th chapters of Hebrews. He builds it around a passage from the Psalm where it says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And then it talks about it as a today message given by the Holy Spirit. And the message being that the Spirit of God speaks through the Word of God today. Jesus still speaks today. He speaks through the preaching of his Word today. You can take an ancient passage of Scripture written thousands of years ago, and yet under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, a simple man of God can stand and declare that Word of God, and it thunders from heaven as if it had been spoken that very moment. He still speaks today. And I'm here to announce to you that we need some young men today who will be preachers of the Word of God. Who will speak for Jesus today? Who will speak against the social sins of our day? Who will speak about the abortion disaster in our country now, getting close to 50 million abortions? Who will speak the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, suffer the little ones to come unto me and forbid them not? Who will speak the word today about the disgraceful worldliness in the average church in our country? Who will speak for Jesus Christ from his word to the churches of our day? Jesus still speaks today. I'm here to tell you something else. Jesus still saves today. Yes, he does. At this very moment, there are hundreds of thousands worldwide who are bowing their knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus still forgives sin today. Jesus still removes guilt today. Jesus Christ still saves the human soul today. There are people being saved today. He has saving power today. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Jesus Christ is saving people this very day. Did you know there are people sitting all around you in this building right now? Some who may have served prison sentences. Others who may have been alcoholics. There are people sitting right here in this building around you today that you would not imagine, who were living ungodly, vile lives. And yet this Jesus Christ of the past is the Jesus of the present. And He has come into their existence and their life, and now they are living productive, and they are living clean, and they are living honorable lives. Why? Because Jesus Christ still saves today. I'll tell you something else. Jesus still satisfies today. Yes, He does. He satisfies the human soul today. As a man, He understands the needs of our soul. As God, He has the power to meet the needs of our soul. There is nothing our Jesus cannot do in your heart and in your life. There is no need that Jesus cannot meet. There is no lust that Jesus cannot calm in your soul. There is no habit that Jesus cannot root out of your heart. Jesus still satisfies today. As Dr. Moeller said, I was a pastor for 50 years of my ministry. And I'm here to announce to you that I have met the Lord Jesus Christ at every turn of my ministry. As I have gone into the hospital rooms of people with terminal illnesses and bowed to pray, the living Lord Jesus has bowed alongside of me in that room. As I have gone out to memory gardens and cemeteries and followed the grieving families to bury their loved ones, the living Lord Jesus has gone with us to those burial grounds. I'm here to say to you that as I have gone into the homes of people and shared the good news of Christ and how they might be saved, the Lord Jesus Christ has been right there in those rooms with me. And more times than I could possibly tell you, as I have stood to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus, I have felt the warm embrace of the living Lord Jesus around my heart in my life as I have preached. We are not preaching a dead Jesus. We are preaching a Jesus who is alive and satisfies today. He'll satisfy your ministry. Yes, He will. He'll satisfy your ministry. Now, I've been a pastor of all kinds of churches. I've had country churches. I've had mill village churches. I've had neighborhood churches. I've had city churches. I've had mega churches. I've had mini churches. I've had all kinds of churches. I've pastored all kinds of people. I've pastored sweet people and I've pastored sour people. I've pastored godly people and I've pastored worldly people. I've pastored ornery people and I've pastored pleasant people. And I have come to the settled conclusion, and I make this every opportunity I get in front of young preachers. I have come to the settled conclusion that if you are in the ministry for any other person, purpose except the Lord Jesus Christ, you are destined to become a bitter old man. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ will satisfy in your ministry if you do it as unto the Lord. And if you serve, not to serve the people primarily, but you are doing it as unto the Lord Jesus Christ, He will give you a sense of deep satisfaction in your ministry. I never imagined what God had called me to do as a 16-year-old boy. If God had sent me a DVD, I'd probably have been frightened to death. Would never have done it. And I've had the ups and downs, and I've gone through the heartaches and the agonies that you have gone through and you will go through. But I want to tell you now, looking back through it all, there is a deep sense of satisfaction because this Jesus of yesterday is the Jesus of today, and He satisfies the human soul, and He satisfies the minister of the gospel today. Jesus is the same yesterday, the past Jesus. He is the same today. He is the present Jesus. And then He tags it. He says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is what is known as the ascensive use of the conjunction chi. It is a rising. It is an ascending. It is a building to a climax. One of the versions, I think maybe it was the original NASB, hit it exactly when they translated it this way. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yea, even into the ages. It's as if He high-fives us. It's as if He says, here's the climax of it all. He is the Jesus of forever. Dr. Dargan, previous president of the Southern Baptist Convention, said, what Jesus was, that He is. What Jesus is, that He shall ever be. He is forever, the forever Jesus. Istus aeonos, into the ages. A.T. Robertson said that means eternity as well as the Greek can say it. We're not talking about a Jesus who is just confined to the past or confined to the present, but we're talking about the perennial Jesus, one who continues without interruption. He is the Jesus of the future. He is the Jesus of eternity. Kent Hughes says in his commentary on Hebrews that the last sermon Joseph Bailey preached, he said these words. He said, "Oh God, burn eternity into my eyeballs. Help me to see everything through the perspective of eternity. We are dealing with eternal matters, and Jesus is the same Jesus who will forever be the Jesus that He is. He is the Jesus of the future returning." There's a similar phrase used over in the book of Acts on the Mount of Olives when Jesus went away into heaven. And the two in white apparel came to the disciples and said to them, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken from you into heaven shall so come again even as you have seen Him go away into heaven." The Jesus who is going to return. I believe in the second coming of Jesus. I believe in the return of our Lord. I believe that we should live looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is going to be a future returning. And when He returns, we will meet Him in one of two ways. We will meet Him either in rapture or we'll meet Him in resurrection. You know, over there in 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about that duet that's going to be sung when people go up to meet the Lord. And a part of that duet is, O death, where is thy sting? And the other part of the duet is, O grave, where is thy victory? If you go up in rapture, you won't die. You'll go up saying, "Aha, O death, you didn't sting me, did you?" And if you come up in resurrection, you'll go up singing, "O grave, you didn't get any victory over me." I don't know which it's going to be for me, so I've learned both parts. Now, I don't know when the rapture is going to be. I do know when the rapture is not going to be. The rapture is not going to be on my wife Janet's hair day, because if he comes and she hadn't been to the hairdresser, she won't go up. I'll just tell you that. If you married me, you know what I'm talking about. You know, when I was a young preacher, I said a lot of foolish things. Young preachers are like wasps. They're bigger at birth than any other time the rest of their life. And I said a lot of foolish things. And I used to get real cute, you know, and say, "Well, you know, when the Lord comes, I don't know which I want to be. I don't know if I want to be alive when He comes and be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, or be dead and come up through the dirt and feel the kick when I come out of there." I must confess to you that the older I have become, the more attractive rapture has become to me. But it doesn't matter. It may be resurrection. I also know where I want to be buried. I want to be buried at Walmart. Because then my wife will come to see me two times every week. Into the ages. There's going to be a future returning. There's also going to be a future reigning. In Luke chapter 1 it says, "And He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever." Eistus aionos. Into the ages. Jesus is going to rule and He's going to reign. Isaiah 24:23 says, "The Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion." Someone said, "You ever expect to go back to Jerusalem?" Yeah, I'm going back one of these days. And one of these days, I'm going to wake up in Jerusalem, and I'm going to get up, and I'm going to take a stroll down the streets of Jerusalem. And I'm going to be walking along, and I'm going to look around, and I'm going to say, "Well, I don't see any police officers or soldiers anywhere." And they say, oh, "Don't you know the Lord reigns in Zion, and they'll not learn war anymore." And I'll walk a little bit further and I'll see a lady pushing a basket of roses. And I'll look at those roses and not a one of them will have any thorns on those roses. And I'll say, "Where, ma'am, did you get those roses?" She said, "Oh, I got them out there in the desert. We're growing them in the desert. Haven't you heard? The Lord reigns in Zion." And I'll go into the Jerusalem Mall, and a guy will come out, and he'll have a cobra in his hand. And I say, "Man, what are you doing with that cobra?" He said, "Oh, I'm taking it as a pet for my child." And I said, "A pet for your child?" He said, "Oh, yeah, haven't you heard? The Lord reigns in Zion, and the little child shall play upon the hole of the snake." And I said, well, where are the hospitals around here? He said, oh, we don't have any hospitals anymore. Haven't you heard? The Lord reigns in Zion, and they'll not say, I am sick in that day. And I'll go up to the temple, and there on the throne, it won't be old Buddha on the throne. It won't be Hare Krishna on the throne. It'll be the same Jesus on the throne, and the choirs and the orchestras of heaven will be singing, because the Lord will reign into the age. He is the Jesus of future receiving. He's going to receive us one of these days. I've lived a lot of places in my ministry. I've lived in Alabama. I've lived in Louisiana. I've lived in Georgia. My good friend Joe Kines was a defensive coordinator over at Alabama. He said something I've thought a lot about in connection with the ministry. He said, one of the first things you notice when you get into the coaching profession is you start getting a lot of Christmas cards from Allied van lines. And I think you'll notice in the ministry you'll move some. I told the people yesterday, first four churches I had, I averaged 16 months per church. And then I went to Jacksonville State 24 years. I hadn't got where I was going yet. I've lived a lot of places. I've lived in a lot of homes. But one of these days I expect to move into my forever home and be with my forever Jesus forever. I heard about one dear saint of God who was dying with a terminal illness. She called for her pastor to come to make some final arrangements for her funeral. She shared with him some of her favorite verses of Scripture, and then she said, Pastor, I'd like to be buried with my favorite Bible. And then she said, an old pastor too, she said, I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand. And he looked at her like she had lost her mind. He said, ma'am, you want to be buried with a fork in your right hand? And she said, oh yes, pastor. Said, you know those church suppers we have? And she said, you know, pastor, said, when they clear the dinner dishes away, the server leans over and says, keep your fork. And she said, that was always my favorite time, because I knew that something good was just ahead. Banana pudding or apple pie, our chocolate cake. Something wonderfully sweet was just ahead. Bury me with a fork in my right hand. If you ever listened to bluegrass music, you've ever heard this old song? And while the ages roll, you remember that old song? Have you heard him sing that? While the ages roll, I'll sing. My voice will never tire or grow old. And my song will ever be, praise the Lamb who died for me. And I'll sing it while the ages roll. You see, you and I preach a Jesus who is the same. And we need a Jesus who can deal with the sin and the guilt of our past. We need a Jesus who can meet the needs of our present. But we also need a Jesus who can help us with our eternal needs. Gloria Sturgill, Dr. Scroggins, the wife of the chairman of our deacons in Jacksonville, spent the last 15 days of her life in a hospital. The night she died, the family gathered around her bed, and for an hour and a half, they sang the old hymns they had learned at the church. And then Gloria went to be with the Lord. You see, on a day back there somewhere, Gloria invited Jesus into her today. And because she invited Jesus in her today, Jesus included her in His forever. I had a little old country church, and we didn't have a choir. It was one of those old-fashioned churches. You had an amen corner over here for the men, and had an amen corner over here for the women. And they'd sing some old gospel songs. And I can almost hear them singing it right now. Time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earthly thing shall stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. And then the ladies would start and the men would bring in the bass. Hold to His hands, to God's unchanging hand. Hold to His hands, to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, yea, and into the ages. Our Heavenly Father, fill our hearts with a new, fresh awareness of Your reality. Grip our lives. We sense Your presence in this place this morning. Grip our lives with a new commitment and love for You. In Jesus' name, amen.